KFSR presents the Fresno State Student Spotlight with Fresno State's Vice President for Student Affairs and Enrollment Management, Dr. Frank Lummis, and Fresno State Student Special Guests, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Dr. Frank Lummis. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm excited to have Fresno State student guests with me today. Welcome Shai Chang. And also with us in the studio is Dr. Francine Aputa, the director of the Cross-Cultural and Gender Center at Fresno State. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Today, we're going to talk about the services that are provided at the Cross-Cultural and Gender Center. And so I know that before the Cross-Cultural and Gender Center, there were other programs and services that were going on here at Fresno State. Can you tell us a little bit about the precursor to the Cross-Cultural and Gender Center?
Sure, I'd love to. I'm real fortunate. I've been on the campus for about 25 years, and I was hired at first as the director of the Women's Resource Center. And so that was in 91, and it's gone through a few changes, always getting better every time. And about 10 years after the Women's Resource Center was founded, we founded the Central Valley Cultural Heritage Institute. And then it became an umbrella organization, the Center for Women and Culture. And then, as you know, under your leadership, we did some work, some self-studies and some external reviews, and found that we really weren't meeting the needs in the way we really wanted to of the diversity of students that we have here at Fresno State. And so we developed the Cross-Cultural and Gender Center here on our campus. And again, under your leadership, with more space and more funding, with support from the president's office, we've been able to not just provide services for women. We were always providing multicultural services and a little bit of service for LGBTQ students. But this last year, it's really grown in terms of providing direct services to the LGBTQ community, to trans students, and then programs and services for African-American students, Latino, Latina, Asian Pacific Islander, and American Indian. So it's been a very busy but rewarding year.
Great. Great. Lots of wonderful stuff going on. So really, the center's only been in place since last summer, and so for a short time, correct?
Right. The transition happened during the summer from the Center for Women and Culture to the Cross-Cultural and Gender Center with all the new changes and the addition of space and staff and programs.
So for those people out there that say, well, why do you need to have a cross-cultural and gender center? What's the importance of having these spaces on campus and our staff involved in this work? What would you tell them?
I would say that we as a community are wonderfully diverse. We're a very diverse community. But at the same time, there has to be work on inclusion. So just to look at the visual diversity doesn't necessarily mean everyone feels included and feels a part. And the other part of it is we really are working on cross-cultural interaction. Mm-hmm. I know we talk a lot about not wanting folks to operate in silos.
Exactly.
And so we really think it's important to work within your group, but then come out of that and work across group lines. So wanting our African-American students to interact and go to events of our Asian Pacific Islander students and our Native American students to go to events of our LGBTQ community. So a lot of the work that we do is around intersectionality, because I'm not only African-American, I'm also a woman. And then my faith comes in there, right? And all of those things, those pieces of who we are, and how do we learn more about each other? We're a global society. And the more our students and our faculty and staff know about different groups, the more effective they're going to be no matter what field they're in.
That sounds great. I wish when I was a student that there was a cross-cultural and gender center. Being a Latino, I found that, you know, it was hard to find people like myself or a safe space. Shai, what's it been like for you as a student? Tell us what some of your thoughts are.
Some of my thoughts about this are, coming to the center, I see that there has been lots of inclusions of different types of people from different types of backgrounds. And I didn't realize how much of a need the center was until we had our event, which was a shamanism workshop. So many people came from different types of backgrounds just to learn about this particular religion or this practice. And so there were so many people that it was a standing room that we had to deny people entrance, you know. And so this room held approximately 70 people. And so we had to deny people entrance. And that made me realize how much of a need this center was, really, that this center was a very important instrument in making sure that everyone was included, to have all students and all faculties and staff having their Fresno State moment where they realize, you know, that Fresno State is something that they're proud of. And so I wish that we can promote more about different types of different backgrounds. And the center is really very important for that type of use.
Mm-hmm. So how is it important to you in your education? You talked about different people from Fresno State and being involved, and I'm sure the next time you'll get a bigger room so that you can have more space for people. So how is this important to your education? What do you think you're going to get out of this by meeting these people from different races, ethnicity, religion, et cetera, not only now here at Fresno State, but when you go out into the world and are in your career or with your family or doing other things?
For me personally, I feel like going to the center and what I'll obtain from it is that I feel like this is a process of me becoming more of a peaceful person, someone that I can help out the community and understand each one and their struggles and being an activist and being able to promote their struggles and making sure that everyone is understanding and inclusive of each other. I feel like when I go out into the community and to my career, it's going to be so much more than just me and myself. And just going to be focusing on Fresno State, but something that I'm able to focus onto the community and have everyone understand each other and understand their struggles and understand that there's something much more for us to do together so that we can become a more peaceful society.
Very well said. What a beautiful world it would be if we had that kind of situation where we all understood each other, and how empowering would it be if we all supported each other in our different cultures and groups, et cetera. Francine, you talked about staffing, you talked about this new center. Why don't you tell people where it is, what kind of facility, a little bit more about the structure that we have there?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. We are in the Thomas Building, which is the old administration building. We are just east of the bookstore or north of the Rose Garden. Those are landmarks that I think people are familiar with.
Beautiful
on the
space.
Campus.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful space. Bright, airy. We got new furniture put in and new paint, and we have great windows in there. So it's a lovely space. Part of where we are used to be the provost suite. So it's a lot of fun for people who used to work in there
right.
to walk in now and go, wow. They always go, wow, because it looks so different from when it was an administrative space. Very friendly to students, faculty, and staff that come in. We have our center room where there are meetings. We run support groups in there and discussion groups. We also have a quiet room, which is great for lactating moms. It's also a place because we have peer supporting peers. And so oftentimes folks come in, they just need someone to talk to. And so that's a quiet space where that can happen. We have gotten additional office space. We have a small library, especially for our LGBTQ students, folks who are exploring and trying to figure out who they are. And so it's a safe place for them to come and find books that help them as they come to grips with their identities.
The new remodel looks great. Love it. I can't wait till all the artwork is up.
Yes, that's the next phase.
And we have the branding for the building. And we both know that the other side of the hallway this summer will be positioned to finish phase two of the Cross-Cultural and Gender Center. Tell people what the vision is for the spaces that will be across from the center.
I think it's very important for folks to realize that when specific groups come together, for example, when Asian Pacific Islander folks like Shy come together with other Asian Pacific Islander folks, that it's not being exclusionary. But sometimes I always say our center is kind of like Cheers. Sometimes you just want to go where everybody knows your name. And for folks to come together with people that understand them, understand their language, understand their customs, it provides a safe foundation. And then they can go out and work across cultures. And so with the new phase, we're going to have some affinity-specific spaces. So there'll be a space for LGBTQ students that they know they can go and meet with other LGBTQ students, and a space for African Americans, Latino, Latina, Asian Pacific Islander, American Indian, and then a gender space. And when we talk gender, we want people to understand we're talking the broad spectrum of gender. Male, female is on one end, but we're learning as a society that it's much broader than that. And I think that's been one of the most really moving in ways, changes in our center, to see students who are trans, who have felt either invisible or like they couldn't be who they were, come into their own in our center over the past year. And so to have a place where they know they can be safe, those are the things that are coming for the next semester. And we're very excited about it. Students are excited about it.
Sounds great. I'm telling you, I want to go back and be an undergrad again. I wish we had those spaces. Yeah. So, Shai, tell me a little bit about how you first came to know the center.
Well, I first came to know the center through attending one of the diversity workshops, actually the diversity dinner that I attended. And so during the diversity dinner, I met so many types of different people. We engaged so much that I just really wanted to be more part of this. Never in my whole college years have I experienced so much diverse people under one room. Being apart from the Hmong Student Association, I always just kind of stuck around with Hmong people that was related to me. And so just to step away from that and just to be able to know different types of people and where they came from and their names and what their origins of the name came from was just so amazing to me that I feel like as if a spark inside me lit and I knew that this is where I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And so coming from the diversity dinner, I wanted to be more a part of it. And so I asked if I can be part of the National Coalition Building Institute, the NCBI diversity workshop. And unfortunately, that was at the end of the semester. And so I will have to be a part of it for next semester. But as the dinner kind of ended, Michelle, someone that was working there the previous year, she came and asked me if I would like to be part of the center. And in a gut instinct, I said yes. And so she showed me around the center and told me what new changes that will be happening. And so I applied and I got this job. Yeah.
So not only do you really love the center, but now you're being employed in the center at this point.
Yes.
How's it like to work there? What do you like best about working at the center?
Well, I love interacting with so many different types of people. Under the Asian Pacific Islanders, it encompasses so many different types of people. And it encompasses from East Asian to the West Asians. So it's like Indian and also Korean and Japanese and even the Southeast Asians like Cambodians and Laos and including Hmongs. And then it goes into the Pacific Islanders. So it goes Polynesians and including the Filipinos. And so it encompasses so many types of people that we have to always make a big step in making sure that we are very inclusive of our of our communities and also making sure that everyone's also very participating. And so that's what I really love is being able to interact with so many different types of people. And so that's what I really gained from this center also is meeting new friends and gaining new friendships also.
It sounds to me like you're a bridge builder. You know, you like to build bridges between the different groups and get to know a lot of people even within a group, because there's got to be, what, way over 50 different groups in the Asian Pacific Islander group. I remember seeing it put up on a board one time. I didn't get to count, but it seemed like at least 50 or more. So bridge builder, is that how you describe yourself?
I would definitely say so. I know that every single time when I walk across campus, I would start seeing lots of friends that I just recently met, and they would start saying hi to me. We'll strike up conversations. And so just like you, I'm sure, or even like Dr. Arpuda, it would take 15 minutes for you just to walk across campus as you see so many different types of people. And so I really even understood more that, you know, how important this position was, because it was a process of having everyone bridge together. Also, as I interact with each club, I would ask them, would you like an API organization, an API specific event? And each one always said yes, as they want to interact more cross-culturally with each other. And so I feel like that's our next step, is that we need to make these more cross-cultural interactions with each other.
So one of the phrases that I use all the time on campus as your vice president is I talk about students being involved and engaged and feeling a sense of belonging. You know, people ask me a lot, what is your work as a vice president? What do you think is one of the secret formulas for student success on a college campus? And I often tell them there's no silver bullet. There's not one thing that, you know, we all could do, because everybody would do it if we could and everybody would be successful. But if they really pin me down, I'll talk a lot about if we could involve and engage every single student and make them feel a sense of belonging, that when they do have those difficult times, they'll have a peer group, they'll have friends, they'll have others that they can interact with, and that support group will get them through the difficult times and also make life here at the university so much more enjoyable. It's kind of nice, isn't it, when you walk across campus and it takes you 15 minutes because all these people said hello to you, and sometimes you may not even remember all their names, But it's kind of cool that they know who you are and they see you as this bridge builder. So what do you think? You think the Cross-Cultural and Gender Center is doing what I talked about, having, you know, more of involved and engaged students and a sense of belonging for our students?
Of course, I definitely see that. I definitely see that there is a lot of media cross-cultural interactions. It makes a sense of belonging for each person. And I feel like this is a really great step in making sure that everyone feels like they belong at Fresno State, and just being able to be recognized by your friends and your peers as you walk across campus. That makes me have a sense of belonging here at Fresno State. It makes me really proud to be able to be graduating from Fresno State, seeing that I am graduating from Fresno State, that I am an alumni from Fresno State.
Right. So when are you graduating? Anytime soon?
I'll be graduating in 2 years.
Wow. So we're glad to have you for 2 more years working with us and being that bridge builder. Dr. Aputa, I'll be more formal this time. Tell me a little bit about what it's been like this past year. You have had a new structure, a new name, a lot of changes. You brought in new staff. You got a bigger facility. Does it feel like you won the lottery with all this stuff? What's it been like this past year with, you know, all these new enhancements to build on the great work that you've been doing over the years?
It's been a whirlwind. It's been a wonderful, wonderful whirlwind. And I do feel like I won the lottery. I tell people all the time, I feel very fortunate. I feel very supported professionally and personally by the administration on the campus. Because a lot of campuses, I think, talk about diversity. But as they always say, you know, you want to know if it's really important. I think this is something you say, Dr. Lamas. Where's the funding going? That tells you whether or not it's important. And so it's been very exciting to me. We've worked really hard, had so many programs and services this last year, and so much new learning for me personally because of the new areas. I think Shai mentioned the shamanism workshop. You know, I felt like my head expanded just in terms of the knowledge. Here's a spiritual practice and a healing practice that I didn't know about. And you have all these misconceptions and these stereotypes. And to listen to the shaman talk, I tell people he's talking in his language, but we're all riveted. And I'm suddenly realizing, but I don't understand what he's saying. But I'm... There was an interpreter, but you didn't need the interpreter. You were still engaged. So it's been very rewarding. And the feedback from the campus, people have been hungry for this. The events on LGBTQ issues, particularly on trans issues, the number of people that are coming out. And we know people are so busy. And when you see these rooms full, you see 30, 40, 50, 100 people coming to an event to learn. It's very clear that people want the information. But the other part of it is, though, it also brings up those little pockets where there's areas of concern. The good thing about it is you get to know. And so you get to see where the work needs to get done. So it's been an exciting year. We're all a little exhausted, but it's, I tell people I love my job. I love my job.
Well, it's, that's very evident. You show it every day. Every time I see you doing an event or talking to a group, you would think you've only been doing this for a short time. You're always so enthusiastic and positive, and just, you can tell it, you're doing the work that you want with your life. So that's really great. You know, I know for me, I went to the shamanism workshop and I was at the panel with transgender students recently, and try to get to as many programs as I can. And I find that every program I go to, I learn something. And I feel a little bit closer to understanding all of our students in a different way than maybe I did before. So I've got to believe that that's, you know, a wonderful thing for our students. You talked a little bit about that, Shai, a little earlier. But it's got to feel great that you're getting all this understanding and knowledge that's just going to serve you well for your future.
Yes, I definitely agree. I'm very excited to have known different types of people from different types of backgrounds, and just getting to understand one another is a really great step in understanding one another and making sure that everyone is accepted and everyone's feeling very comfortable no matter where they're at on campus. I feel like these events are helping bridge that comfortable, safe environment where no matter where each student is at, they are comfortable and they feel safe on campus.
That's great. So if I had to ask you, what's your one favorite thing about your job at the center? Is there one thing, it could be even two, that really, you know, stick out for you?
I would say that I am able to connect with so many different types of people from different types of background, being able to understand them, being able to work with them. I think that opens up my mind, and I just want everyone else to want that too, and also be able to have that for them also. And so that's how I really feel about being here at this center.
That's great. Dr. Puda, any one thing, could you come up with one or two things that would make you say, these are the things that in the morning I get up and I'm so excited and this is why? Is
there anything? Students. Yeah. In a couple of words, it's the students, to see them grow, to see them come into their own. We have a trans student. I remember her coming at the beginning of the academic year, very hesitant to even walk in, not knowing if she would be safe. And then she was on the panel the other day, and I saw her prior to that. And I was like, oh my gosh, you look so good. You could see the transformation of someone just being who they are and being comfortable. And it was a physical change. And that's what happens in higher ed. You get to see people grow and blossom.
Right,
and that's
right.
what had happened with
Absolutely.
Her. She had blossomed.
Right.
And
self-confidence.
Yes.
All of that.
It was like,
great.
So that's what keeps you going.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And if I had to say the other thing is, it's the learning about others, but also even within your own family. We did this event called Natural Hair Night, and it was for African-American women because there's this whole thing with what is the standard of beauty. And so in the crowd, there was this gentleman, and he was Anglo. And in my head, I'm like, oh, he must be here for extra credit, right? And, you know, why is he in the room? And so what we found out, because later on, I saw an African-American woman come in. She came in later because she happened to be in class. And they were with each other. And being married 39 years, I can tell husband and wife. And I'm like, they're together. And someone had a conversation with him. And he said, I understand my wife and daughter so much more now.
Oh, that's great.
That was one of the best moments for me. One of the best moments. He's like, I'm so glad I came. I get it now. I get it. You know, and it seems like a small thing, but it's not. It's all those moments over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's great when you get those aha moments and your brain feels like, wow, this is wonderful. Now I know. So I asked you the positive side. What you liked the best? What was the things that made you come to the center and get up and be happy and all of those things? Let's talk about the other side. What are some of the challenging things? What are some of the things that are, you know, a little bit more difficult for you, either in working in the center or what you see in the center or whatever is on your mind?
You know, for me, two things come to mind. First, how do we help the campus community know that when we talk about cross-cultural, we are talking about everybody? There is not a person on this campus who that doesn't fit. So how do we get people to understand that? And then how do we meet everyone's needs, right?
Right.
Knowing you can't do programming for every group every time. And so there has to be this kind of cycle, right? And so that becomes a challenge. How do you help people know that you're included in this? We're not just talking about people of color. We're not just talking about women. We're not just talking about individuals who identify as gay and lesbian. We're talking about everyone. And so to get people to come to us with programming ideas or ways that we can support them and their group, that's one challenge. I think the other challenge that I find just doing this work in general is there's still a lot of hurtful stuff that happens out there. People still come to us about things people have said or done to them that are very, very hurtful. And so it's great to be able to be there for them. But it's also, like I tell people, the highs are high and the lows are lows. It's still very disappointing to hear, you know, that folks have said things hurtful on our campus because it's not the majority of people, right?
Sure.
Most of our folks on our campus are open and caring and want to know. But sometimes it's not that way. And I think that still becomes a challenge.
Sure.
It's a challenge and an opportunity all at the same time.
Right. Let me ask you a couple follow-up questions on both of those parts. So I happen to know, I'm a little bit on the inside here, that with programming, that you do have some funds so that different groups can come and make requests so that they can do those programs that leads to that inclusiveness that you're talking about. Walk us through what the process is. So if I'm a student group X and I want to do certain types of programs, I know you can come to the Cross Cultural and Gender Center and speak to the staff and look to doing some of those and request some funding. How do you do that?
We've actually developed a form where individuals can come to us and say, I'm a club and we're trying to do a cultural heritage night and we need some financial support. And they fill it out, show us how it increases cross-cultural understanding and interaction. And then we're able to provide support to them. We're also looking at a process. We learned this from another campus that we visited of having clubs and organizations that are affiliates of the Cross Cultural and Gender Center. So that's something we're putting in place for next academic year. So we're learning new ways and new things, but there is a process. All they have to do is come in, let us know they're interested. We've developed a form for them to fill out and request funds and support. And we've been able to support every group that's come to us this year. But a lot of it is getting the word out so folks know that we're here and that the funds are available.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. So,
And we also work in partnership with the President's Commission on Human Relations and Equity in doing this. And they also have funding for the same types of things.
So it looks like students have some great opportunities to come to you or your staff and say, you know, we'd really like to do this type of program. Can you help us with some seed money to get it off the ground?
Absolutely. And if I could say one more thing, and also our space, if they're looking for a space to hold a small meeting or hold a small event, they can always come and reserve our space. And as we expand, even though there will be affinity specific spaces, other groups will be able to use those spaces.
Excellent. You mentioned in your comments also about some of those hurtful situations, and I think we all see them in the newspaper, on TV, sometimes, unfortunately, even on a college campus across the country. And I know that you're very skilled and experienced with these situations and do a lot of training and other things. Who are some of the partners that you work with? For instance, when you have some students that are struggling with issues, do you send them to their counseling center so they can get some help there? If there's something they're trying to work through, or maybe they have an issue with their parent on some situation or other things, who are some of your partners in some of these situations?
That is the great part about being on a college campus. We have so many resources. One of the things is the health and counseling center, depending on what a person is dealing with. Particularly our students that are part of the LGBTQ community and they're dealing with coming out and coming to their own. We have great folks at the Health and Counseling Center who understand those issues and can deal directly with them and help them through that process. We also have even our health and wellness program at the health center that provides information and support to students. We also make use of our faculty and staff. There are faculty and staff affinity groups on campus in terms of connecting them with folks who can mentor them. Things like the EDGE program for African-American students. Sometimes it's a matter of someone needing to have some support academically. And so then we can connect them with student success services. So there's a holistic approach that we're able to have because of particularly some of the new structuring in the Division of Student Affairs with being able to do case management. So if there is a problem, we can talk to someone like Jamie in your office and,
so the care team.
And get that, the care team and all of those things. So it's been very, very instrumental to have one place that we can send a student. If we don't know the specific person to send them to, we can say, here's what the student's struggle is. How can you help us? How can you help that student?
Yeah, I think that's one of the beauties of our division. We have programs like the Dream Center, Success Center, the Outreach Center. We have the EOP program, TRIO. There's a whole host of programs. And sometimes they might just need help in career development, and they're right down the hall from you.
Right.
So I think using all those resources that we have across the 30 or so departments in the division is a wonderful thing because, as you were talking earlier, we really can't operate in silos. We have to work together as teams. So thank you, Dr. Aputa. Shai, any challenges that hit you as a student?
some challenges that hit me as a student is working under the Asian Pacific Islander programs and services. It's really difficult to encompass as much different types of events that will be able to encompass the different types of Asian Pacific Islanders. For instance, we just did a Hmong shamanism workshop, but what about the Pacific Islanders? What about the Filipinos? Mm-hmm. What about the Southeast Asians? And so those are the kind of challenges that we face whenever we do an event or whenever we do a workshop, is we try to make sure that we're hitting as much different types of Asian Pacific Islanders mm-hmm. as much as possible. And so that's kind of like challenge to making sure that we're trying to be inclusive with what we're doing mm-hmm. also.
Okay, great. You know, and I look across the whole center, you could probably say that for some other groups also, whether Latino, Latina in terms of different groups, you could say that with domestic, international students, et cetera. So last question to wrap this all up, what are you looking forward to most in terms of this end of the semester? We're almost there. It's hard to believe that we're almost to graduation. And what are you looking forward to most for next year?
I would say that I'm looking forward to be working with new people and looking forward to being more inclusive and hosting different types of events where we're able to incorporate different types of people from different types of backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Great, great. Dr. Puda?
We're looking forward to the next academic year, to the additions to our space and being able to have those affinity specific spaces, and looking forward to listening to our students in terms of what are your needs? How can we make sure that we're meeting your needs? And designing new programming and assessing it to make sure that they're being effective and then moving forward. So there's a lot to do, and we're right. happy to do it.
Well, I can tell you I'm looking forward also to as many programs as I can go over in the Cross Cultural and Gender Center. You've done a fantastic job this
Thank
inaugural
you.
Year of this center and enhancing on the past work that's been done. And so I appreciate both Shai and Dr. Puda being here with us today. Thanks for joining us this morning, and please join us again next Sunday morning at 10:30 for another Fresno State Student Spotlight on KFSR. We're on the air 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Student Spotlight every Sunday morning at 10:30. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.